Well, here we are, February 24th, PM service. That's all for me to remember when I'm copying these things and deleting and stuff. We're going to get off the ignorant thing. We're going to save that one that I mentioned this morning till a little later. Tonight we're just going to kind of kick back here a little bit and talk about something that I've already talked about a bunch of times. Maybe not quite as scripturally official tonight so much, but it's why. The question is this: why is it so hard for people to quit going to a local church, to an assembly? Why is it so hard that when they do quit for a while, they just have to get back to it? Why is it, or do I even encourage people to quit going to their church, to their local church assembly? Just things like that. Because when I'm talking to folks, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, do I go down this path? Do I go down this path? Do I show them this point? Do I show them this point? I know that when it comes in their life to Acts 19, where this whole stuff that Paul was able to convince all these people in Asia, remember, that's where Paul even despaired in life. It was such a rough ministry down there. But he was getting people. You see, I'm not even so sure that Paul just told them to do this. These people just came up to the decision themselves, which is probably what it's all about. If somebody quits going to the local church because I or somebody else told them they're not teaching the truth or whatever about music or the stuff we'll talk about tonight, if they do it because somebody else told them to, or you also got them coming to, the sound is not good. I don't know what to do about the sound here. Maybe your speaker cords are kind of wobbly or something. I'll just keep going, Bob. Maybe just restart or something. I don't know. Who lost sound? Are we losing sound here? Do, 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 do. I got the microphone right in front of my face. It's back. Okay. Well, let's keep going here then. I won't touch anything anymore. So, because Paul is very clear, the risen Savior is very clear, but he tells us through Paul, or I can say the King James Bible says directly to us in one of Paul's writings in Timothy that people are going to have to get out of the snare themselves. So if they're dressing modestly because you told them they should, or if they're talking differently, or they're looking at Titus in those chapters and doing it because you showed them, and they look to you like their pastor or whatever, or they not go to your church, not going to church anymore because they think such and such, it has to be their call. It has to be their decision. That's the hard thing for us. It's a hard thing for me. So when you get to something like Acts 19, where he says, this silversmith guy, Demetrius, and he says to people, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. There's what Paul was telling people. And so now that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed. And that just bothers people. I mean, why don't you like our pastor? He's such a nice guy. Why don't you like our church? You know, all this kind of stuff here. And they don't understand a whole lot. So what they need to realize, what we need to realize is some of these folks care for their people so much and care for their pastor and family and wife or whatever so much. They'll say things like, well, man, you just make total sense, and it makes sense to me, and I just got to go back and tell people that we're doing something wrong with our music. I've got to go back, and I've got to talk to the pastor. I'm not sure he knows this. And the Bible's clear, and they'll take the Bible, but you know you're not going to see them again. You know they're not going to come around again. Maybe, maybe not. It's just a matter of time. So what they have to realize here, before we get into why we have such a struggle with it ourselves, is let's go to the standard place, and that's Acts chapter 2. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 in your King James Bible, of course. And like I used to say, in one hand put Acts chapter 2, and in the other hand put your hand in there, fingers, whatever. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we all out there should know by now, with the exception of why you know listen, unless I know who you are, but you change your name or whatever. These are the two chapters, or the two sections, that we go to for the design or the purpose of the local church. So we might as well go through it. We do have a visitor for a little while. Nope, the visitor left. That didn't take long. And we go to chapter 2 of Acts, and we see that this is the common church description today. This is what everybody wants to do. This is what everybody thinks they should be doing. Well, it's right here in your Bible. Yes, it is. It's at Acts chapter 2. This is Great Commission time. This is where Mark 16 is taking place. This is where the signs and the wonders and the speaking and the tongues happen, etc., etc. And we see here that this is the, as they like to call it, they call it the early church. Well, why don't they call it, they call it the early church, so why don't they get it? Because see, if you compare Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 4, we see today's church based on Paul's teachings. That's the difference. Well, we see in the early church that 41, they were gladly, that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, they sure do enjoy that fact, don't they? A lot of people come. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, we're not to follow the apostles' doctrine. We are to follow Paul as the apostle, his doctrine. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There it is again, Great Commission. That's what people want to see in their church. So the pastors have to get up there and give illustrations of these signs and wonders and miracles and things. Otherwise the people don't believe it. Because signs and wonders are there for signs, just like it says. And that was a Jewish thing. We don't go by signs today. Everybody wants to go by signs. You want to see that God is real. They want to see, the only reason they'll know that God is real to them is they'll get a blessing, a physical, rich blessing, and then they know God is real. According to them, anyway. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That's a positive thing. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Well, that's a good thing to a point, but we also know that Jesus told those guys that wanted to follow him, the rich man, to sell everything. And people just, they're not willing to do that. They don't want to. Well, we don't have to do that. Paul never tells us to do that. So, there's these television guys that put it out there, and they say, you need to sell all your possessions and give them to moi, the miracle worker, give them to me. God will bless you for it. The more you give, the more God will give back. Oh, the whole spiel. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. See, there you go with this. Get rid of this doctrinal differences we all have. Let's go back to church and worship God together. Get rid of these doctrinal things. So there's that. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's the references to Baptist there, where we always ate meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, there is still the number one attraction, the number one purpose of a local church today is to have everybody happy so you come to our church. Come worship with us. Come to our building. The whole thing, we're going to talk about this stuff tonight. So you want everybody to have favor with all people. So they're going out there in the community. No more doctrinal walls. However they want to dress, they can dress in here. Whatever kind of music they want to listen to out there, we'll play for it in here. Whatever you like to be talked to, we'll talk to you. We'll make you happy. Come be with us, there's Acts chapter 2. That's what the churches today are all about. Now, these Bible-believing guys, they're just the same compared to the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and all this stuff. No, they're all the same. they're doing the same thing. The preachers get up there and preach fear. Look what happened to Cousin Jeb down there last week. He had a problem, and you know, they just preach that stuff. They wanted to see numbers. Well, how many people did you win to the Lord this week on visitation? Oh, you don't come to visitation. Maybe that's why your house isn't selling. I mean, they got all sorts of guilt trips to put on there. Sell your possessions and goods. Well, they don't push that one quite so hard, but, you know, they still put the giving thing, which is okay to give. Continuing daily with one accord. Well, if you go to the right camp, the Baptist camp, the Ruckman camp, the Hiles camp, there's a bunch of names out there, the Knox camps, the whole thing, you know. So they got all that stuff. But the big thing is you want to have favor with all the people. And we got to get rid of these divisions and stuff. See, and that's just not the way it is. That is not the church thing. So when you come around and you get to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about the purpose of the church, and then if you want to realize, and if you would realize that, well, that's not what's going on in my church, then you'll find out that you need to leave. You need to despise it, just like Paul says in 18:19 of Acts, and destroy the magnificence of it. So it's Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There's where we at. Went a little too far there, but down to 16 there, I guess it is. That's what the purpose of the local church, the body of Christ, us amongst each other, as well as any local assembly. So you compare those things, and you know as well as I know, you can't find a local church in a building with a pastor, with a congregation there that would stick to Ephesians chapter 4. You lose, as I found out, either you lose the people because they don't want it, or they want to quit fighting it because they just want you out of there, or you go someplace to start something, and the local Baptist pastor tears you to bits before you get there. And then the ladies don't want their husbands to get a hold of this Bible anyway. Ladies are much happier with religion than the men are. And so that fizzles. So we do what we do in these days. What days are we talking about? We're talking about the days where Gentiles don't want to hear about the goodness of God anymore. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to live like that. And it's going to get far enough along that God's going to say, well, it's time to cut off the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's done. And he goes on to the tribulation. So why do we have such a desire? And maybe you don't. I hear it with people. Or as I, like I say, as I talk to people, I see what their mind is already thinking. Well, if this guy's right, I can't go to this church anymore. Well, I got to go to this church. I mean, we just go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's just what we always have done. I don't want my kids to see us not going to church. My wife, she's got to go there with all the ladies. I mean, these ladies are like horses, according to the Bible and Song of Solomon. And horses are a very social creature. They have to stay together in these little corrals, and they sit there and they nip at each other. And well, that's very true. So the ladies, they need that church. What about the kids? Well, the kids don't want to hear anything from mom and dad, because what do they know? And so they go to these teen groups. Well, they don't want to be talked to unless it's got some modern issues they want to talk about, but nobody would dare preach hard at them. And if nothing else, we just show movies and let's bring in the rock music. That's what they want to listen to anyway. We'll just have somebody singing this rock junk with Jesus words in there. Well, see, that'll work fine. The little kids are good to have them in there and make little mosaic pieces Red Sea Crossing, or they'll watch videos on vegetables singing and being bad little vegetables, and here's how you grow to be a good little vegetable. And if you're a bad little vegetable, God will not love you. And if you're a good little vegetable, God will love you. But God will always love you, so how can you be a bad little vegetable and still be loved by God? So do the right thing, and don't be like Tommy Tomato, but be more like Bill Banana or something, you know, and be a better person as you grow up, and God will love you. All this kind of junk that goes on for our little kids. Oh, I tell you. And yet, I talk with people, and I just sense it typing with them that they really miss church. They miss going to church. Well, I guess I can understand, because we know Paul tells us in Romans 7 that he serves the law of God with his mind. He knows what's right. But he serves the law of sin with his flesh. His flesh still is flesh. It still has sin in there. It's not him that's doing it. It's the sin that is in him, as he says. We're separated from our soul, or from our flesh. So, but the flesh junk still's there. And see, people think the church is supposed to tell them how to love everybody, and you'll be returned with love from God and everybody else, and people love to come, and we will tell them how to live a life that is blessed by, not pleases God, but just blessed by God. And it's a lot of fun. Churches today feed the flesh intensely. And maybe they always have. Maybe they have for umpteen years. Local church is biblical. We should have a local church. It's supposed to be patterned after the body of Christ. And there's verse by verse after verse after verse of how the brethren are supposed to, we're supposed to be there for each other. Now, if you're wrongly divided, go to the brethren stuff in 1 John. If you don't love your brother, then you're lost and going to hell. You're in darkness again. You're no longer born of God, as they say. You know, they got these born again stuff people out there. John's the only one that talks about that, by the way, P.S. And you go to the 1 John, he talks about it there again. Well, we don't lose our salvation. We don't suddenly live in darkness because we don't like our brethren, one of our brethren. We got a problem. We have an issue. Yeah, and it'll, you know, it could cause problems. But Paul is very, very sure and very sincere how we should still take care of each other. So there's purposes for local church. And, you know, a good buffet once in a while, or a good potluck, I guess we call them, you know, not a problem, I suppose. And somebody wants to come in and sing and sings nice, that's whatever, you know. So many things take place within a local church, but it's all fleshly oriented. And so it feeds the flesh, and when we leave that church, and if we can even get to so far as to despise it because of what it did to you and your family, or you want to destroy the magnificence of it, can you imagine in anything trying to destroy the magnificence of something that somebody thinks is magnificent? Try to destroy sports, girls' sports especially, but organized sports in the schools. Watch the coaches walk up and down the gym talking to their players like he's God and they're little peons that have to do exactly what he says. You watch that stuff and man, that's magnificent to those kids. But that's the magnificent needs to be destroyed. The magnificence of music, what it does to fire them up. Well, look at the words. Look at what the music itself as the language is doing. Try to destroy that magnificence in people's lives. Well, just go to their church and try to tell them that this, all the money you guys are trying to save for parking lot, stuff like that, that's not going towards any ministry or towards any help for the pastors or people that need help. You know, try to destroy that magnificence of the local assembly. Well, let's look at some of the magnificence of the local assembly tonight, and let's just ask ourselves, you know, are we still kind of caught up in this thing? You know, what is it that we miss? Why is it such a big deal? You know, anyway, and I can talk like this because I've been a pastor for, I don't know how many years, a lot of years. I've been out east where there's a church on every corner, and I mean four churches on every corner, There's a church, southeast, I guess. Well, I don't know what else to say about the sound here. I'm moving around a little bit, but that shouldn't affect anything, I would hope. So let's just, I'll put this down, and at least I'll get it recorded anyway, and you can listen to it later. Sorry, here we go. So, let's look at some fellowship. Well, we got to go there for fellowship. Well, there's no harm in that. It's a lonely thing. Paul was a lonely man. And to stick with King James Bible and to stick with rightly dividing and Paul only, you're not going to have a whole lot of friends in this thing. So it's nice to go to some church where they believe the same. Ah, there's one of the problems. You know where it says in Acts 2, they're all in one accord? We know better than that, don't we? And I can only use the one church I truly pastored at, and boy, I'll tell you what, the church faces there were just unreal. And me being the snoopy pastor that I was, I had time to visit and go to houses and talk to people know what's going on in a small town with a small church and small families, et cetera, et cetera. Boy, I knew when the church face would come on. Only did I find out later that the man who had the best church face was the guy that always talked about church faces. Well, I guess he should know better, huh? He should have known that whole story. But I tell you, there were conflicts deep down. There was hatred deep down. There was a woman or two that went after the other women. And there was, oh, man, I'm telling you, it was rough. It was mean. Oh, how are you doing this morning? You know, and you just, what? What are you talking about? We're here for the preaching. We got over that for a while. We're here for the preaching and the teaching. And pretty soon we quit doing the bread bank thing. You know, we kept doing the Sunday school money thing. We kept doing the bring your change, the birthday thing with a penny for how old you are, and all this little church stuff, you know. We took down the cross that was in the church. Who's on the line? Maybe you guys remember that stuff. Yep, Sam, Bob. Oh, no, Bob. Ah, it's too bad about this sound stuff. Oh, Joel's there. Good to see Joel there, Joel. And so we had all this stuff going on, you know, and we had our little coffees beforehand, and I always had to go down and get them, though. Kids are running around, and nobody understood why I didn't want kids running around. Well, half our church was old. And just all it takes is somebody knock over one of our old folks, or kids just should learn not to run around and scream anyway, and their parents should learn how to babysit their kids, and then we had the nursery, so then I got rid of the nursery, because the ladies need to hear the preaching, the ladies were escaping into the nursery. I knew they weren't listening down there. I mean, the thing goes on and on. And yet you go to Hebrews 10:25, see, and it says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, this sounds so good, you know, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, that's a good sounding verse, but that verse isn't written to us. You can't use that one. Because let's look at the next verse. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What is this all about? This isn't what Paul teaches at all. No, it's not. So we can't go there. But like I say, there are reasons for... Paul is very clear how we are to care for the brethren. So, that's... I'm not knocking that. It's just that I think the biggest reason people have to go to church someplace is to appease the wife, or to appease the teenagers, or to appease the children, which appeases the wife, and to appease the man, because the man is too busy to study his Bible and teach anything to his family. The family doesn't respect the man enough to learn from dad, and the wife certainly isn't going to let him teach anything that she doesn't believe in and agree to. And you got problems. You're certainly not going to change the music in your family. What about school when they go to school? What about the workplace you go to? What about the workplace she goes to, and he finds out that Paul says you don't even want her to go to work? When you got the kids, tell them to take care of the kid. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you just stir up the bees. So, you go to church. You go to the local assembly because you got to go someplace. Why else? What else do we miss about church? Well, we miss the music. We miss the music. Now, in our case, we got to where we just did the old hymns. Didn't have to fancy them up. I could put a few arpeggios and a few twinkles in there, whatever, I guess. Maybe out of my own boredom as a piano player, which can get out of hand very easily. People could come to listen to the music. Oh, remember Bob and you guys, the family that came one time and left before we were done singing? Now, the only options it could have been was we were singing so badly, which is possible. Or they didn't like what it was we were singing. Well, the music that we sang were hymns. They were Bible study hymns. They were not appealing to the flesh at all. And yet we even found out that some of the standard classic Baptistic hymns doctrinally have some wrong verses or phrases or words in there. So we dealt with that. And before you know it, you know, somebody wants to, can you play Old Rugged Cross for me? Well, no, not really, because I don't believe that that's what we're supposed to owe our allegiance to, is the cross, you know, and all the words that are in that thing. We don't do that one. Well, but I like that. Wouldn't you do that one? Well, somebody wanted you to play Ave Maria? Well, Ave Maria is Praise Mary. Well, I don't want to play that thing. What about Battle Hymn of the Republic? We know that he never saw the eyes of the coming of the Lord or glory of whatever that thing is about. We know that's not true. And we also know that Christ didn't empty himself, like it says in, I think it's And Can It Be, or It As Well. That's an NIV version of the phrase, and using trying to take it from, see, we get into that stuff. Man, you are just a party pooper. You ruin the music. You ruin the church-faced fellowship. You know? Well, the music today is just appealing to the flesh. And like Paul says, I'm just winging this tonight. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if you don't understand a voice, you are like a barbarian to that voice. It will control you. So, how many people know music? How many people understand what that music is doing to their children? How many understand that all these videos that kids watch on TV and the programs and the Bible studies, they've all got music for a reason? What's going on here? Well, I've been over that 1,000 times at least. And we can't, it's hard to get away from that stuff. You've got to despise it. I have come to despise the local church today, not for the concept of the local church, but for what it's done to my family, what it's done to me, what I know it's done to other people, and what it's going to continue to do to people as you prepare for the Antichrist. I despise that place. And to destroy the magnificence is tough because you're just not going to get any friends doing that. So here I'm talking to somebody here in town here, and I know they're starting to get it, but he's got to decide about this church thing. So his wife wants to go to church. They dedicated their kids today, I guess, was going on. And at least he doesn't believe in the baptism thing, so that's good. He's going to a Baptist church. No, he's going to a free church, a guy that I talked about here a couple weeks ago. Well, you know, you can't stop him for now, but they'll get it eventually, I think, and he'll realize, boy, that's just a waste of my family time. Yeah, it is. Not only was it a waste of your family time, they learned stuff. Now you got to unlearn them. You got to unteach that stuff. You got to de-teach them. So we miss the music stuff. What do we do if you hear for music? Well, I'm not sure everybody understands why we play Susan Marches on here, but it's good, clean stuff. And like I said, one of these days, I'm going to talk about Christian music. Is there such a thing as Christian music? And no, there's not. I just don't believe there is. It'll just be me talking, but I think the scriptures are pretty clear about stuff like that and about music and whatever. So Mark plays Sousa, and sometimes Mark plays some opera. Sometimes Mark plays some classical or whatever, Mozart or something. Sometimes I'm playing it, somebody else is playing it. I don't know. And we do the hymns as well. And some people probably have a hard time with that. I don't know. Maybe they don't come in early enough because they don't want to hear that stuff. But the music's not appealing to your flesh. Maybe that's the problem. We're used to that flesh food, you know. Well, let's see here. How about the preaching? That's the part I find hard for guys to leave anyway. Well, ladies love it too. Maybe it isn't too hard on ladies. If a lady can sit there and hear their husband get bashed, then they probably like that. But you don't dare go after the ladies. I did that for so many years. I even had to duck behind the pulpit just to, because I knew their faces were shooting darts at me for what I was talking about. But I don't know, Titus and Timothy, pretty clear. Pretty hard to misinterpret what he's saying when he says what he says. And Timothy and Titus, you know, I mean, I guess I helped him read through Titus and didn't go over well. So what is it about the preacher? Well, maybe he's a good artist. Maybe he likes to draw. Well, that's interesting. That's cool. Maybe it's historical. Maybe you just want to go to that church or that crowd because someday he's going to die and you want to be able to say to your children, we sat under Dr. Schmuckaduck here and we know him, we knew him, we had lunch with him the whole spiel. I was down that route. I still got some things in my drawer somewhere around here where he drew. Maybe someday they'll be worth a whole lot. Maybe someday they'll put me in jail. Who knows, you know? Certainly don't want to copy them and give them to anybody with the copyright laws the way they are. Maybe you like preachers that shout at you. I never was very loud. Maybe you like him because he's just a good talker. He just has good speaking technique, you know.
Some people like him because he's cute. They're cute. Expensive suits. Suave, you know. Yeah, and I'm sorry to say that there are some ladies out there that fall in love with their preachers because they wish their husband was like that, and Mr. God on earth kind of a thing, and end up falling for that stuff. These guys are educated. They got a lot of degrees. They've had that hermeneutics class. They've had, I think that's the name where you study the New Testament, how to corrupt the New Testament. They've had speech training, you know, they've, been to theology school, seminary, whatever, you know, they know their Bible in and out. Yeah, right. They don't know it in and out at all. They know how to get rid of it, is what they do. Do these preachers give you their opinion on one verse and then speak for 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes on one little old verse with their opinion? Do they take you to the Bible? Do they show you the verses themselves? Do they give you time to look up your verses while he's talking about it? What righteousness is it that you want to hear him preach? You want to hear him preach God's righteousness, your righteousness, the walk? You want to hear that? Do you believe him? Do you believe him unchecked? Do you just take his word for it kind of a thing? Maybe he's just a screamer. Maybe he's just a preacher. Or he's a tearjerker guy. I mean, you know, stuff that gets you all caught up in this thing. Maybe he's famous. Worldwide evangelist kind of a stuff, you know. Then again, maybe he's divorced. According to Timothy, we don't want a divorced guy up there, because especially if he's remarried. Yeah, but see, it doesn't quite say that. Well, if you go to Timothy here, for what it's worth, Timothy here, and you go to, I can't even turn these pages here. There we go, First Timothy. Must be the husband of one wife. Well, maybe this single pastor that is in town isn't biblically true. Is that possible? It says a bishop then must be blameless. Well, we know, you know, that the husband of one wife doesn't say that he's single. Does he have to be single? One that ruleth well his own house in verse 4, that was always a good one. Most of the kids I know from pastors or missionaries that came by to visit were rotten to the core because they've been so brought up so tight, and the wife didn't know diddly squat how to do anything but sew and fix dinner and really couldn't take care of the kids because he'd have to go out and whack on them to get them to do stuff, or the wife would whack on them. So a ton of that stuff. And as it got older, most of those kids all flew the coop when they had the chance. We could talk about that sometime over a hamburger and coffee. Oh, so you got a wife that runs the ministry, go down here to the deacon's wives, and you find out that the wife thinks that she can go out there and run the ship anyway. Bet there's too many of that that's going on. I understand that one too well. How about the building? Do we miss the building? Do we miss the old 1800s, 1900 buildings? Do we like the new buildings with all the new fancy high-tech plugs in, everything like that, you know, and the double screens and the cameras floating around all over the place, and Starbucks in the basement, you know, and fancy carpeting and comfortable pews. Maybe we went into the tables and the chair thing. At least we had padded chairs, right, Bob? At least we had that. The gym. Church has to have a gym auditorium, you know, for all their sports activities. Then you got into these fancy churches where they have all these concert halls, and they got these orchestras and these big productions they put on it. People enjoy that. Well, we can teach people through acting and music and stuff. We're not supposed to go that route. Paul says to preach the word, not act it out. Anyway. Well, maybe we look to church as our authority. We miss that authority because when the men leave the church, where is the authority at? It's in your ballpark. It's in us guys. It's us men's ballpark. So we better go hold of that Bible. Well, there's nobody there to teach me the Bible. Just read it. What's so hard about rightly dividing a Bible? When you read what Paul says, there's nothing complicated there. There's nothing complicated in history in the Old Testament. You know, and there's nothing complicated in the tribulation. You don't have to try to figure out which is to you. It's very simple. What Paul writes is writing to us. That's only too simple. So the authority really rests on your book. And if you get into Ephesians 5, for example, that authority thing is solved. I mean, don't the women want to have a biblical walk as a wife? So if that's the case, We go to Ephesians chapter 5 and we see things like submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband, you read through that stuff and, oh, the ladies ought to be excited, you know, because this is what Paul's teaching us. Wow, how exciting. But if the husband tries to do anything to the wife or for the wife to help her grow by stopping her from what she's wearing, or she wants to go down to the Y and bounce around with all the other men and women in there, and all the different things that take place, you know, the wife and the husband's accountable for this as he's the head of her. And if she is willing to be, you know, now this doesn't go into the 1 Peter chapter 3 level of a marriage, where he can beat her and all this kind of, I'm not talking about that. But, no, it's an authority. If you go back to church, see, woof, this off my case, it's just to the pastor's problem now. He can preach to my wife. And you all know this, I had a meeting one time, a men's meeting one time, where one of the men said to me, boy, would you preach that at a lesson? I just don't have the courage to tell my wife that. And I said, what? Just, you know, it's not that you have to tell them. They should be reading their Bible to see this stuff. Oh. We miss this. We miss this stuff. We want to go back to church. I don't. I don't want to walk in the doors ever again. I have a hard enough time talking nice with these pastors, and because I know if I get a chance to talk to them, I know what they're going to say. I know what they're going to teach. I know what they're going to have for an answer, what they're going to challenge. And people I talk to, I can't just get them to show them. Now, here's the thing, though. We all have learned that if we have questions about what's going on in our church, we don't like the music, we don't like what's going on, we don't like the direction the church is going. The pastor lately has been talking about nothing but money. The pastor's talking about this great commission. I know better than that. He's a nice guy, though. See, that whole spiel. Well, nobody's going to leave their church because you say so. But show them the true purpose of a church. Show them Paul. Show them rightly dividing. You know, who knows where different people are at. King James, Bible-believing, Ruckman kind of guys or Hiles kind of guys, you would think would be able to see this because they suppose they have read their Bible. They haven't read their Bible. They've studied according to their teacher. That's all that is. So, I don't miss it. I just do not miss it. I miss seeing your faces. I miss hearing the amens or the seeing the smiles. I miss the people coming in the door. Oh, good. You know, Jeanette made it back again today. She's been busy and not feeling well. And Chris, she and her and Mark came, you know, made it. And Sam is back Mark is back from a race and he did really well. I think it sounds like he's back too soon, but he can sit towards the back with Bob, who's coming in from the paper mill. But they're there, you know, great. And Joel, it's good to see Joel there and his family. You know, and all the issues, and Sam, and all, you know, I like to see that stuff. I miss that stuff. Don't think I'm doing it for money, because remember, we even got rid of taking offerings back at Touche. Remember, we put the box in the back. If you wanted to give, you give. If you didn't, you didn't have to. Some people could give once a month, once a week, every time we got together. It just didn't matter. Boy, I was nervous doing that too, but it came around pretty well. Came off pretty well until towards the end there, the website was taking care of the church instead of the church taking care of the website. You guys are helping more along that line than they were. So anyway, why is it we miss this stuff? Why do we miss this fancy schmancy preaching stuff? Why do I even do a video? Because what's there to see? Here's this guy. Maybe you like to see my hair getting grayer and my build growing. I think I told you the other day some of the kids thought that I was very, very muscular and well-toned in my younger years, they said. And I said, well, I'm like, yeah, I was, da-da-da-da, yeah, right, you know. But you can, what else is this see in a video? You can watch my office, you can see my hair change. I still got it, though. That's more than some can say. Is it the music? Do we miss the music? Well, we provide music. Mark's our music provider. He plays, if you want to come to music, come to church with us. And just remember that we're not about the music, although there is music there. Want to come early and sit down and listen to the music? Go ahead.
It's mostly just preaching and teaching and teaching and preaching. And I don't have any many announcements because none of us can get together and do anything. I'm not going to read you the financial report because there is none. I will say that those that are helping immensely. It couldn't come at a better time as it does now. I was hoping you would think I'd have my life together, but that's just not happening. Although, like somebody said, if you just quit preaching this stuff, some of the people would get happy again, I'll bet. Yeah, I'm sure they would. And it really is a challenge to do that stuff. But and now I'm talking about church and church bashing. Well, show me a church that preaches Paul rightly divided only and doesn't get caught up in the mid-act, into the history of the church and that kind of stuff, preaches what Paul preaches for doctrine, then gets in there and preaches the walk, the manner of life, and I'll show you a church that hasn't got hardly anybody in it. But I'll also show you that there's a lot of people around this country that still know their Bible, they still believe their Bible to be the Word of God, and once you show them this stuff, they're like, wow, they've never seen that before. But if they're caught up in a church, they will not be able to leave that church. Because if nothing else, the pastor will come over and talk to the man of the house. And the man of the house probably won't have a clue of what to say. Well, we're just following Paul. I've heard this has been said a million times. Well, you've been listening to that guy on the internet, that Paulson guy. I've heard that happens a lot of times. Pastors ask that. I think I'm more famous than I realize. And you've been listening to that? Well, no, I haven't been listening to that. I've been reading my Bible. He's been showing me things in my Bible. Now, Pastor, what do you think it says right here to follow Paul as he follows Christ? What do you think it says here, Pastor, in Romans 5 and 6, and 6 about sin and, onward you go. Ephesians chapter 3, Pastor, this is all given to Paul. Why don't you teach us this stuff? Yeah, well, you've been talking to Paul's. No, forget the Paul's thing, Pastor, or Randy or whatever. Why don't you teach me this stuff? What's going on? Timothy and Titus. I mean, that's hard stuff in there. What, Mrs. Randy, come on in here. You know, my wife doesn't even like to read Timothy or Titus, but you should be preaching that to us. Help us get to this stuff. That's not going to happen. You know what you got to do? You got to leave. And when you leave, fight the fact that you're going to miss it for a while. Because you're missing the flesh being fed. You know, so anyway. There's stuff, there you go. There's tonight about, why do we all miss the church so much? Well, I got to make sure it's publicly stated here. I do not miss it at all. I just don't miss it at all. I enjoyed playing piano. I enjoyed leading the singing. And I enjoyed the preaching and teaching. I loved having people in their congregation. It was great. But do I miss that? Oh, I miss that. But I don't miss what's happening in music. I don't miss the hypocritical church face people. I don't miss the ladies fighting and scratching each other's eyes and ears off. I don't miss that stuff. I don't miss knowing what's going on in the family. And yet the man comes to the Bible study and he says, yeah, "Amen, you know, I believe that." Okay, if you believe that, why do you treat your kids and wife the way you do? Oh, I can't make this sermon, Pastor. Yeah, but this is a good one. You need to hear this. I'm writing this one for you, kind of there, Fred, you know. But you're going to have to work, or you can't come that night, or whatever is going on. Yeah, we're done for the season, because I have to drive snowplows. So I won't be there on Sunday nights for the next 4 or 5 months. Well, what's the deal here, you know? And we all got those issues. Isn't it nice? I mean, think about it. We have a King James Bible only concordance that you can find anything you want. It's at the click and squeeze of a mouse. You can listen to the sermon anytime you want. You can sit down all by yourself, put your headphones on, and concentrate and study it yourself. You've got a small Bible that doesn't weigh a ton like the old King James Bibles used to. You can read it yourself. It's not hard to understand. There's nothing in Paul's writings about private interpretation, because there's nothing to privately interpret. But if you start mixing the dispensations together, now you got to do your interpreting, and that's wrong. We don't know how to do that stuff. God is going to show you stuff from your reading, in your reading. He's not going to give you this stuff without your Bible opened up in your face. And for us men to get our act together as men, well, we even just try. We stir up huge bee nests. So I have to be careful about it. In fact, Paul even says in Corinthians, listen, if you want to really serve God, Paul says this. We as men got to remember this. Paul says, listen, if you really want to serve God, then I suggest you don't get married. Because you got to fulfill the needs of this wife. Same thing with the wife. If you want to serve God through this whole thing the proper way as a woman, then I don't recommend to get married, because you're going to have to do something for your husband you really kind of don't want to do. Because you have to fulfill his needs. You got to be there for him. And that's going to take away from serving. Paul says that. So see, once you all get a hold of this Paul stuff, we have to be careful that we don't just bash them, or they bash us, or we bash our kids. Paul said, listen, if you really want to serve God, you're better off staying single. Between you and God, nobody else in there. Well, many of us know that you have to come to some point in your life, you got to do something, you got to help the others out, you got to take care of your wife or your husband or kids or whatever. But boy, when they turn on you, there's only so much you can put up with, and you got to put your foot down and say, listen, I'm sorry, but this is just, I'm not going to give it all up. And we've probably all been there. We could probably all have a happier life, a better life, more money in our life if we just quit this stuff, but can't do it. I can't do it. I can't play the church game. I can't be around the Christians without wanting to say something that sparks a little seed, you know, or whatever, or just be nice. But what can I say? I despise churches today. I want to destroy the magnificence to anybody who asks me, and I'll be glad to do so. Because what Paul has, what the risen Savior has, is so much better than in any church anywhere. And your family will be poisoned by these other churches because their flesh is being fed. What can I say? You know? You get clobbered either way you do it. You might as well get clobbered doing the right thing. Anyway, we will stop the video.